The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by AIB. We see brave and we're backing it through Brexit.
Well, Boris Johnson says it's time to get ready for a no-deal Brexit. We're joined now by a woman who played a role in the Vote Leave campaign, but not only that, also the election of Donald Trump. Brittany Kaiser was a key member of staff in Cambridge Analytica, the British company that helped misappropriate 87 million Facebook profiles as part of an operation to manipulate voters on an industrial scale. She became a whistleblower. Brittany, first, I want to ask you about privacy and data. You say that data is a multi-trillion dollar industry, bigger than the oil business, but too many of us are complacent about our information being used. You even say that any time we accept cookies on our computers or mobiles, we're signing up to spyware. Is that overstating it?
I really like to say that in order to land the plane for people that do not understand that every device that they're using, every platform and application that they're using has been specifically designed to collect as much data about them as possible. I really do see it as spyware because we're really being spied on by companies that have decided to not just collect our data for themselves, but to also be able to trade that on an open market for monetary value. And we never explicitly consented to that. And by that, I mean, I doubt many people ever read the terms and conditions before they clicked that box. So no one's really informed on what is going on or the fact that everything they're doing is not private.
Now, of course, the issue of taking personal data and using it, whether it's commercially or politically or selling it on, is something that you've had firsthand experience of from your days in Cambridge Analytica. And we'll come to that in a moment. But before that, when you finished school, college, what did you want to do? Were you very interested in this area? Obviously, it was all in its infancy anyway.
Of course. Well, I got involved in this when I was still in college. In fact, I was at Edinburgh University in Scotland when I temporarily left school to move back home to Chicago and work on the first Obama campaign. I moved there in 2007 to work at headquarters and was part of the first five people to join what was called the new media team, where eventually we invented social media strategy. So we were the first people to ever start taking data off of social media in order to understand exactly what people cared about, what we could do to get them to register to vote for the first time or activate events in their communities, volunteer, and to obviously share on social media, which created even more data about what people cared about. When I joined Cambridge Analytica in 2014, that's when I was still in my graduate studies, all the way 4 degrees later, doing my PhD in human rights law. I studied specifically international law and preventive diplomacy, which means how can heads of state use data in order to prevent war, prevent atrocities. And so I was studying data and how it could be used in order to make more peace in the world and improve government decision making. And so that's when I joined Cambridge Analytica to fuel my career in not just the human rights world, but in politics.
Now, you then went to work for Cambridge Analytica. You would have met Alexander Nix, the guy behind it. And what was that like? Or what did you make of him or the company?
When I first met him in early 2014, this was when I had started writing my doctoral thesis. And the first time he described to me everything that he was able to do with technology, I was completely blown away. And that I really thought, wow, this is a technology that I want to learn how to use, because it sounds like exactly the way that you'd be able to measure your effectiveness while you're campaigning. But I suppose at that time, you could consider me naive or you could consider me eternally optimistic. I saw this technology as something that could help me do good in the world, and I didn't really think too far past that.
Meeting Alexander Nix, was there anything about him at that point in time when you met him that made you think, well, we mightn't really be on the same page here in how we can use this technology?
Yeah, I was definitely a little bit nervous about some of the clients that he was working with because they were people that I did not align with politically. And at that point, I had never worked for anyone that I wouldn't vote for, if we put it that way.
Like who? What clients would have perturbed you a little?
So one of the first people that he mentioned was Senator Ted Cruz. And one of the second people he mentioned was Ambassador John Bolton. So both of those people are in many ways the opposite of what I believe politically. And so when I started negotiating with Alexander to come on as a part-time consultant, we made a promise that I would just work on international campaigns and not be working on anything in the U.S. since it didn't align with my values.
One of the other big plays that Cambridge Analytica was involved in was the Brexit referendum campaign. In the run-up to that, just tell me a little bit about your involvement with the company vis-a-vis the Brexit campaign. What were you doing and what was the company doing during that?
So I had already left headquarters in London to move to America and specifically work on business development for Cambridge Analytica there. And Alexander calls me one day and says, you know, we have the opportunity to work on the referendum. We have pitched the Remain side, and they told us because they're sure that they're going to win, that they're not going to pay all this money for political consultants. So we've now secured meetings with the Leave side. And would you do me a favor and fly to London and help with the pitch for these people and help us secure this contract?
Did you think that Leave would win when you were working on the campaign?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I saw it as an opportunity to get involved in a historic referendum, you know, see how a referendum worked and start to learn what those campaigns looked like.
In the case of the Brexit campaign, it brought quite a lot of fake news to referendum campaigning in the UK.
I'd completely agree with you. So one of the major reasons why I became a whistleblower in the first place was because campaigns like the Vote Leave and Leave.eu, as well as the Trump campaign, started to use targeted messaging in order to spread disinformation. And the problem with the Brexit campaign was that it was realized too little too late. And there wasn't enough momentum to actually discredit some of that information that was being pushed out of those campaigns and encouraged a lot more people to vote for Leave under false pretenses.
But also for Cambridge Analytica, it was you guys were using the skill that you had to make sure that those messages were targeted at the most open audience and the most appropriate users of that particular piece of misinformation.
That was actually run by the campaign itself. What Cambridge Analytica did was originally just design the data program. So all of the data, how you could purchase and license data about British people in the UK, how you could model it, how you could find audience groups. And then that was handed over. And the campaign itself, without Cambridge Analytica being involved, ran all of the messaging.
But the ability to target it most effectively was based on data and work conducted by Cambridge Analytica.
Precisely.
So the Leave campaign won. Were you pleased about that, or how did you feel about it?
When the Leave campaign won, I, again, was incredibly conflicted. My company that I was working with at the time was being credited with being a part of a historic win for a campaign that was not expected to win. And therefore, there was a lot of press and notoriety that came with that. On the other hand, I was surprised that they had won because I didn't think that it was possible. And news was starting to come out that a lot of the information that had been pumped out of the campaign was not accurate and could be easily considered disinformation. I had also seen that the campaign had used a lot of messaging that I was very adamantly against, that, in my opinion, stoked the flames of xenophobia in the UK. And being a foreigner that's lived in the UK for my entire life, that was, you know, pretty scary for me. And I was disgusted to be a part or associated with anyone that would put out messaging like that.
So the Trump 2016 campaign came along, Cambridge Analytica's involved, you're involved. What did you do in that campaign?
So I was the first person to pitch the Trump campaign. And what I was told by Alexander Nix, by Steve Bannon, by other people in the company was that we were pitching in order to get a contract with the Trump Corporation, and that the whole plan was for Donald Trump to run a political campaign with no intention of winning, but with the intention of testing different messaging so that the company could be more successful and so that eventually Donald Trump could launch something called Trump TV and make a new billion-dollar TV network. And all of the data that came out of the political campaign would be able to inform what types of programming and what types of customers that TV network would originally go out with.
So they were actually saying it's not really about winning at all. This is about testing the market to do something else, which will be on TV.
Yeah, I was told that this was really a commercial pitch more than anything else and a way to develop a relationship with the Trump Corporation, which would be a much more lucrative contract than a short election campaign. I never thought that there was any chance, let alone any intention of winning the presidential campaign at all.
And as a previous Obama supporter and someone who'd worked on the Obama campaign, did you have any mixed views there about working for Trump?
Yeah. I mean, that's the reason why I didn't actually work on the campaign past pitching and negotiating the contract. But I was offered to put my name forward to work on the campaign, and I refused to do so. So that was a group of my colleagues at Cambridge Analytica who were running the campaign, and I didn't have anything to do with it while it was ongoing.
And it's interesting when you look back at that 2016 campaign and how divisive it was and how the current campaign is so divisive, but it really did bring to the surface the idea of misinformation and fake news as well. For example, I was just looking at it there, 18% of Twitter traffic during the last US election campaign was chatbots or automated software that churned out fake news. And a BuzzFeed analysis on Facebook in the last election showed that engagements, likes, shares, comments was higher in the top 10 fake news stories than in the top 10 real news stories. It really opened up a whole Pandora's box, didn't it? It changed the rules.
Well, unfortunately, our problem in elections and digital campaigning is that there were no rules in the first place. And that's one of the biggest problems we're facing today, where it's, you know, illegal to suppress someone's vote. You don't have the right to incite racial hatred or incite violence upon people or slander or libel them. Yet a lot of the political content, especially what's coming out of the president's campaign, Donald Trump's campaign, could be considered breaking all of those laws and social norms. So somehow we don't have the rules on Facebook and Twitter and other platforms that apply to the rest of our lives. If you can't print it in the New York Times, you shouldn't be able to print it on a platform that actually many more people read.
Did you have any sense that working for Cambridge Analytica that, you know, perhaps yet again, vis-a-vis the messaging, the divisiveness of it, and the misinformation that had happened in the Brexit campaign, here we go again, that you know, you were with Cambridge Analytica on the wrong side?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I had the same internal conflict, which is that the small startup company that was my employer all of a sudden had created a historic win. But at the same time, this was a man that I did not want to be president of the United States. So it was not long after the election where I actually moved to Mexico because I did not even want to be in America with President Trump governing.
But the firm you worked for had helped to put him there.
Absolutely.
And again, it was also, it involved the misappropriation of 87 million Facebook profiles, something for which Facebook was fined. It wasn't just a case of one side or the other and one side had to win and it happened to be Trump. I mean, there was a much more sinister element to all of this.
Right. Well, at the time, I was told that using Facebook data was just the way that things were done. And I didn't think at the time that we were doing anything different from anyone else. So you can imagine what I felt like in March 2018 when I found out that there was not just a Facebook data set that Cambridge Analytica had, but that it hadn't been deleted and was used for the Trump campaign when it was supposed to no longer be on Cambridge Analytica's databases at all.
Brittany, do you regret your role in all of this in relation to Brexit, in relation to Trump, in relation to all the...
Yeah, I think that's an understatement. these are the types of people that I would never usually associate with. These are the types of people that I would never vote for. This is the type of messaging that would never come out of my mouth. So associating with people that use negative campaigning, disinformation, divisive rhetoric is something that I will make sure I am never a part of again.
And what do you think went wrong for you? Was it you said that you were quite young, it was your first job. You also at the time felt, well, and had reason to believe that this is what other firms are doing. But in writing the book Targeted, I was just looking at some of the reviews and also the Netflix program, The Great Hack. In one report, it says that this is all a quest for moral redemption. And one reviewer of your book wrote a piece saying that this is how someone can slowly abandon their ideals in the name of greed. How do you feel when you read that?
Well, I mean, one, I think a lot of people assume that I actually made money at Cambridge Analytica, which is not the case. It was my first salaried job. And, you know, it was at the time money that I needed. I had never really worked for money in my life before. I had spent my life working pro bono, supported by either student loans or, you know, a job at a local restaurant or some help from my parents. And when my parents lost all of their money and we lost our personal home, I no longer could rely on that and had to take my first salary job. Now, I'm working in politics and I know that politics is divisive. I know that negative campaigning and opposition research happens. And if I want a future in politics, I want to learn as much about it as possible. So there were less red flags than there should have been. But, you know, I was earning just enough to pay my rent and my phone bill. So the people that see it as greed are grossly misinformed and assuming a lot of things without asking the right questions.
What do you think of the current U.S. presidential election coming to an end? There is a sense in some of the reporting around it, and I'm interested in your opinion on this, would say that there isn't as much fake news. There is an attempt by the big technology companies and media, social media companies, to control it in a way to hold back some of that more divisive stuff. How would you compare it with 2016?
I definitely think it's worse. It has not gotten better. The big social media companies have done too little too late. And the amount of fake news, disinformation, troll and bot activity on fake accounts is at an all-time high. We have definitely not gone to a better place than 2016, especially as we're living in a pandemic where, for the first time, everyone in the world is leading nearly a completely digital life. All of our screen time has gone up significantly. We're producing exponentially more data than ever before. And the vulnerability to all of us being targeted this year has also grown exponentially. So we're facing much bigger problems than we did before. And that's why I will not stop shouting from the rooftops every single day that we need to do something now. We do not have time to waste. Every single day the problem gets bigger and we need to legislate and regulate these companies. This will get better instead of worse if people take the personal responsibility in their own daily lives.
Well, Brittany Kaiser, Cambridge Analytica whistleblower, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much.